on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal, Spouse Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check. And man, I didn't expect to be doing this pod today, but holy fuck, there's some news that's actually worth me doing something close to an actual news pod, I guess. We're going to start small and we will get bigger. Just finished watching NXT and we saw the on-screen return of William Regal. William Regal showed up really, really briefly coming out of Shawn Michaels' office, which Shawn Michaels was quite obviously not in. Door opens, Ava comes out, William Regal comes out, you know, says thanks for the meeting, da-da-da-da-da. And he congratulates her on being the youngest general manager in WWE history, announcing essentially that Ava, she's got no surname, she's The Rock's daughter, yes, I'm going to steal the thing from What Culture. But Ava is the new general manager of NXT. He says, you know, I was with NXT from the beginning. This brand means a lot to me. You've always got my phone number if you ever need a problem, and steps off. So we brought him on TV to have him hand over the reins to somebody else who's going to be on TV, which does beg the question. It does beg the question what William Regal's actual role is going to be. I figured once he was allowed to be back on TV that he would go back to the role that Shawn Michaels has kind of been filling on NXT right now, just being the on-screen authority figure, etc. In the loosest possible terms, like when it actually had to be done, when announcements had to be made, when big events happened, etc. But he was there in the NXT role to pass on the NXT role to Ava, who in her first segment later on in the night for a contract signing with Lyra Valkyria and Roxanne Perez. It's her first night. I want to be nice. Now, this might have something to do with something I'm going to talk about later on, but it leads to the question of, okay, we finally got William Regal back on TV. Let's be real. He went over to AEW. He did the Blackpool Combat Club thing leading up, sort of being like the motivational leader of John Moxley and what the fuck's Cesaro's name? Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta and who else is in there? Somebody else that I'm forgetting. Oh, Bryan Danielson. And he wanted to come back to WWE. I mean, it's a better option. Let's be real. Cody knew it. Punk knew it. Pillman Jr. knew it. Jade Cargill knew it. WWE is the better option. But we got this big story about how Tony Khan was so magnanimous and he was willing to grant William Regal his leave to go be with his kid and whatever, but don't you dare show up on TV. Don't you dare, you know, contribute to competition against me, where William Regal's role on NXT was the general manager of the developmental brand. I don't know. I don't get it. So we've been waiting nicely, patiently, because, you know, people on our side of the line are actually adults, for William Regal to come back to television in general, but specifically to NXT, because that was his role, so he can come out there with his microphone and say, War Games, etc., etc., etc. Now, there's a couple different things that could be going on here, and I want to speculate for right now before we get to Friday, because both of the things that I could say are going to happen on Friday, if they're going to happen at all. If he's not going to be on NXT because he's just passed on the role to Ava, both of the roles that I could see him in rotate around SmackDown. Now, Kevin Patrick on commentary on SmackDown apparently is being removed as of this coming Friday, which is a bummer. I like Kevin Patrick. He's not great, but he's pretty harmless, and he basically gets bullied by Corey Graves for 2 hours, and it's fine. If that's not going to be the case, think of early NXT. William Regal was on commentary. William Regal's pretty fucking good on commentary. Now, his role would be a color role, and Corey Graves' role is a color role. Would that work? I don't know, per se. But it's something I would love to see them play with, if they're looking at that as an option. Somebody also said on social media recently that they're considering bringing back Mauro Ranallo, which would be awesome, but I think he's got other irons in the fire, if I'm not mistaken. The other thing that would be cool, if they're going to stay a tag team, would be William Regal managing Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. the British Strong Style tag team that has just sort of reformed over the past week. We finally got Pete Dunne as Pete Dunne, teaming up with Tyler Bate, taking out Pretty Deadly. Pretty Deadly are upset that they didn't train for Pete Dunne, they trained for Butch, which is obviously what they're going to do. But yeah, I don't think they brought William Regal on to TV once just to not have him on TV at all. The passing over to Ava, we're going to have to see how that goes. It's just genuinely nice to see William Regal on our WWE televisions once again. Not going to say too much about this, but TNA, Santino Marella was talking to, I think it was Barstool Sports, could be wrong. He made a slight hint about how things are going to be bigger and bolder for TNA now that they are TNA going into 2024, and he's very confident that they're close to a TV deal, which is awesome right now. You guys know I did a review of Hard to Kill, which was awesome, and they had their greatest attendance in like 8 or 9 years, something like that. Really, really good show. I did a review for that. And they did their first proper episode of TNA Impact last week. I've got a review up for that as well. Cheap plugs, ahoy. But if we can get off streaming and off channels that not everybody has and onto something a little more streamlined, even if it's back to the old days and something like Spike TV, that would be really, really huge for them. And it would be setting a stall out in the right direction of, yes, we are back to being TNA, and this is what that's going to mean, and make it bigger and stay in the big venues. And I said, for them to be in bigger venues or whatever, I hope they come back to Toronto, and I hope they do the Coca-Cola Coliseum. For those of you that don't know, Coca-Cola Coliseum is the venue where AEW had their first Dynamite. Conversely, it's where WWE has their house shows. So that shows you where those two are. Really, really cheering for TNA this year. I don't have much to say about speculation about them having a TV deal, because I don't know where they would go, to be perfectly honest with you. And whenever a wrestling company makes an American TV announcement, it always, for me, because I'm in Canada, there's always that wait for, okay, that's what it is over here. Like, Raw is on USA, NXT is on USA, SmackDown's on Fox. Guess what? Up here in Canada, it's all on Sportsnet 360. So, for one thing, where's it going to end up? For another thing, what does that mean for people outside of the US? That's not the first time I'm going to say that. Tonight, another one, and it is sort of, I guess, NXT related. I'm not a New Japan guy. I'm not throwing any barbs at New Japan whatsoever. I'm not throwing any barbs at their talent because I don't know much about their talent. And specifically in the realm of Kazuchika Okada, who's apparently technically done but still has a couple more dates to do in New Japan. Oh my God, is he going to go to AEW? Is he going to go to WWE? Oh, of course he's going to go to AEW, because AEW is about real wrestling and blah, 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 and all the stuff that people say. Or is he going to go to WWE? Speculation that he's already worked jointly with AEW. But here's the thing. He's worked jointly with other people too. It's already been taped, obviously, but this coming Thursday on TNA Impact, he's doing a trios match along with the Motor City Machine Guns against The System. So he's, yes, wrestled for AEW, but that doesn't link him to AEW by any stretch of the imagination. Now, what would he do in WWE? I have no idea. The big speculation is that Triple H has been putting a lot of weight behind Shinsuke Nakamura because WWE has to shed their history of not booking Japanese wrestlers very well. I mean, but look at Kairi Sane and Asuka, who are going for the tag titles this coming Friday. Look at the title history of Asuka. Look at how they are treating Io Sky. Look at how all of those women are in the biggest women's story in the division, perhaps outside of Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley, but that's because they're on a different show. I really don't know what to say about that. Kairi Sane was bought back in a huge way. Asuka's always been treated with a lot of reverence. And Io Sky, ever since Triple H took over and Damage Control announced itself as a thing, Io Sky has been treated like fucking gold. I don't know what to say about that whole idea. I am assuming that if Okada comes to WWE, that eventually he'll be linked with Nakamura at some point. I don't know their history. I assume that they might have a history. I won't pretend to know what it is, because that would be ignorant and disingenuous of me to do so. But the rumor now, and it's been announced and discredited in the same day. A lot of the stuff that I'm bringing you guys, by the way, is courtesy of Aaron Rift and the other fine people at No DQ, so shout out to them as well. They announced the rumor, and then they denounced the rumor in the same day that Kazuchika Okada was leaning towards WWE, and he might start in NXT. Now, that made people's head explode, and I really like that that made people's head explode. Now, I know he does the whole entrance thing where the coin drops and then the music starts and all that. I've seen it. It looks really cool. It sounds really cool. If he can get the same kind of deal that Will Ospreay has, and I'm not going to say much about Will Ospreay. I really wish we had gotten Will Ospreay, but it is what it is. Will Ospreay versus Josh Alexander 2 from last week's TNA Impact is fucking short runner for match of the year, and we're only a couple weeks into the year. But he came out and he announced that he was going to be part of AEW while he was still technically under New Japan contract, because they allowed him to do so. Now, if they give the similar consideration to Okada, what I would love, and I don't, like I say, this isn't because I know much about Okada, but this is because I know how to wind up fans. Everybody is saying this year, oh my god, I bet this is the year they bring Shane McMahon back to the Rumble again. Wouldn't it be funny if, you know, the ticker goes down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then you hear, here comes the money, record scratch, and then drop the coin. I'm just saying that would be pretty cool. I do think it's absolutely, it is going to be one of those things that'll be better on Twitter than it will be on TV, but if Kazuchika Okada shows up in NXT, I'm not even going to look at the screen. I'm just going to look at Twitter. I'm just going to watch people melt down. I'm just going to, I am. It's going to be, and I use this example a lot, it's going to be the same thing as when Sheamus and Daniel Bryan fought at WrestleMania and AJ Lee distracted him and he got booted in the face and he lost in, what was it, 14 seconds, 18 seconds, something like that. It was terrible. Like, constructively, it was terrible. But I will be watching Twitter and I will be watching for the meltdowns, and it will be good. I mean, like I say, I've seen Kazuchika Okada. Kazuchika Okada looks bigger than NXT, which is why it would be extra funny. It would be funny for me to see, like, Kazuchika Okada, like, this like, god of Japanese wrestling, get in there and tie it up with Von Wagner. It would be great to see him attend Chase University. It would be great if the schism was still a thing, to see them try to, like, recruit him into the schism. Like, there's all kinds of weird and wacky stuff that I would love, because I love NXT, but it is what it is. Like I say, the rumor was announced and denounced in the same day, but WWE has a lot of wins, and I will say, I don't even have the time in this video to talk about the great promo that we got on Raw between Cody Rhodes and CM Punk. Warming up to Cody Rhodes, as you guys know, but it would be a double shot across the bow against New Japan and AEW if night one of WrestleMania, not the main events, but if night one of WrestleMania somewhere on the card had Nakamura versus Okada, and night two somewhere on the card had Cody Rhodes versus CM Punk. It just would. I'm sorry, that makes me a petty person, but it's one of those, it's like me hoping that Sasha Banks comes back to WWE. And it's not because I want Sasha Banks back in WWE. I don't want her breaking any more necks, and I don't think she's particularly that great, if I'm honest. But it will be funny. It will be funny to watch them cry. It will be funny to watch them cry. That's all I gotta say about that. Other big news. Other big news. Ava just became the general manager of NXT. Could it be because she's The Rock's daughter and The Rock has a new job? It was announced today that TKO Group Holdings, the conglomerate that now owns WWE and UFC has appointed Dwayne The Rock Johnson to its board of directors. So Triple H is running WWE, and The Rock is on the board that owns WWE. If you had told me, way back when, I did a video, and this was well before Triple H had all of his, like, ridiculously scary health issues and had to officially make the decision that he was retiring, and it was before Triple H officially took over the WWE. Several years ago, I did a video, and it was long, and it was extensive, and it was really, really nerdy on my part. It was one of the more fun videos I was doing at that time, and it was the entire history of how they had fought as sort of mid-carders, how they had fought over the Intercontinental Championship, how they had had epic ladder matches, how they had built factions around them, both The Nation and DX, and they had had faction warfare. They had elevated each other to the main event and fought over titles. They'd gone to main events. They'd gone to main events of big four pay-per-views. If you want to have one, like, let's just run it back one more time, give me, for any reason, I didn't even really care at the time, give me one more round of The Rock versus Triple H, especially now, or especially back then anyway, when Triple H was at his fucking hugest. The Rock went to Hollywood and got way bigger than he ever did as a wrestler, and I said, just give it to me one more time. I want this version of The Rock, this version of Triple H, give me one more match. You know, the cliche, one more match, one more match. Now, if you had told me even then, even when I was that high on both of those guys, that those two guys, and not anybody with McMahon in their name, would basically be running the WWE as we plow into 2024, I would have said, you were fucking nuts. There's a big long write-up on NoDQ. I encourage you to give it a look if you haven't. It goes over all the different credentials that The Rock has. He's got 7 Bucks Productions, he's got Terramana Tequila, he's got Zoa Energy, he's got Project Rock, he's merged another football league with the XFL to make the UFL, he's got his history within wrestling, obviously, he's got his history in Hollywood, obviously, Vince McMahon actually was quoted as saying, very few people on the planet understand the convergence of sports, entertainment, media, and business like The Rock. We are proud to have him join the TKO board and help take our company to new heights. Now, the quote from Dwayne The Rock Johnson says as follows, as he was sort of indoctrinated into this role on the board. My grandfather, High Chief Peter Maivia, and my dad, Rocky Soulman Johnson, would have never thought that this day would have come, which is why I'm humbled to have a seat at the table that has decades of history and family legacy for me, a table that my family helped build, being on the TKO board of directors and taking full ownership of my name, The Rock. I thought he already owned that, but that's neither here nor there. Is not only unprecedented, but incredibly inspiring to me, as life is crazy and coming full circle. At my core, I'm a builder who builds for and serves the people, and Ari Emanuel, obviously, is building something truly game-changing. I'm very motivated to continue to globally expand our TKO, WWE, and UFC businesses. I'm really interested to see, I'm not a UFC guy, but Rock's a WWE guy, and I'm really interested to see how much of the UFC he puts his hand into. That's just a personal thing. As worldwide leaders in sports and entertainment, I love the fact that it's a Vince thing. You know, it's not wrestling, it's sports entertainment, but ever since it's been TKO, worldwide leaders in sports and entertainment. Because as I said, when TKO first came together, I said, they've got the red pill and the blue pill. They've walked into the Matrix, they've grabbed the red pill and the blue pill, and said, we'll have all the fake fighting and all the real fighting. Thank you very much. While proudly representing so many phenomenal athletes and performers who show up every day putting in the hard work with their own two hands to make this to make their dreams come true and deliver for our audiences. I've been there, I'm still there, and I'm here for this and I'm here for them. There's a lot to unpack there, quite literally. I mean, he's doing the head of the table shtick. That's not to be overlooked. Does this mean we're more likely to get Roman versus The Rock at WrestleMania? I don't know. It's going to wind up a whole bunch of people. As I say, a lot of my opinion has changed. I mean, I wanted it anyway, but especially after the promo on Raw between Cody and the promo on Raw between Cody and Punk, and the announcement of we don't really know where Rollins is going to be. When I saw Cody and Punk go face-to-face for the first time, I literally said it on Twitter X, for those of you that follow me on there, I said, okay, put put the titles in the bin, like put them aside, set them aside. That's your main event. Cody Rhodes versus CM Punk is the biggest flex there is. I know Cody wants to beat Roman. I know Cody's fans want Cody to beat Roman. I genuinely wanted Punk to go in there and like absolutely obliterate Seth Rollins. And you guys know how highly and profusely I praise Seth Rollins most of the time. I wanted nothing more than CM Punk walking out of Night 2 with a belt. I was willing to give the Cody fans, because they are a little bit more single-minded, I'm sorry, but they are. I was willing to give them the Cody versus Roman thing, because ending Roman's story, even though it should have been Jay, is also huge. Put both of those in the bin. The biggest thing, and yes, I'm partially saying it because it's a big middle finger to AEW. AEW deserves a lot more middle fingers than it gets. But the biggest match off of that one promo alone, after not even anything they said, after that nose-to-nose, after the promo, that couple of seconds where they were forehead-to-forehead, Cody Rhodes and CM Punk is the biggest thing WWE can do right now. And that's the highest praise I can give it. If they do it properly, WWE can dine out on CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes for the rest of 2024. They really can. But if they do that, it'll make it a little easier to swallow when the new board member of TKO, owner of WWE, writes himself a match and says, hey, I want to fight my cousin, because people have been talking about it for a long time. You don't want to make parasocial relationships with celebrities and people and all that sort of thing, but everything you hear about The Rock is he's a good dude. The guy does charity out the ass. The guy helps wrestlers in ways that we only hear about if those wrestlers come out to thank him. He's got his fingers in all the pies. He's creating a lot of things. I mean, the guy's created, what do they say? $7 Productions, Terra Mana Tequila, Zoa Energy, Project Rock, the UFL, I guess it is now. Okay, yeah, oh, he's a big millionaire with lots of companies and he's bossing everybody around. Okay, every one of those companies that he's created gives people jobs. I don't want to be that basic, but, like, there's people working for Zoa Energy. I don't even know what the fuck Zoa Energy is. Apparently it's a joint thing that he does with Coors. I don't know. I didn't know that until today. But there's people that work for Zoa Energy that only work for Zoa Energy because somebody went and created Zoa Energy. Same thing with Terra Mana Tequila. Same thing with Project Rock. Same thing with $7 Productions. And when you know the story behind the name $7 Productions, it just makes you happy for the guy. And I mean, realistically, before he got jacked, before he launched into Hollywood, how many years did he spend throwing himself at the ground for a living, as Jericho would say, for our entertainment? I'm happy for the guy, and I'm happy to hear that a company that is half WWE and half something else has somebody that is so WWE on the board. Maybe that's just me, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm super optimistic, but it is what it is. Now the last thing, the last one's big. The last one is, I saw the graphics on Twitter, I saw the graphics on Facebook, I saw the graphics on Instagram, I saw the trending topics, I saw everything, and I just thought that has to be a fake graphic. Somebody's fucking with us. Nobody's fucking with us. It's apparently legitimate. The big debate, the big controversy, the big question looming over WWE was who was going to be the next cable company or cable network to get Monday Night Raw. We're switching SmackDown over to USA next year. We're switching NXT over to the CW. It doesn't change for me up here because they're on Sportsnet 360, but that's besides the point. But where's Monday Night Raw going? If you had told me this a year ago, I would have said you were crazy. If you had told me this 6 months ago, I would have said you were crazy. If you had told me this a month ago, when the rumors about Amazon Prime were kicking around, I was still kind of questioning it a little bit, but starting January 2025, Monday Night Raw is going to be on Netflix. And it's not just Monday Night Raw. Let me read you the description here, for those of you that haven't already heard it from like a million other sources, because I'm super late to the game. Let's be real for a second. Beginning in January 2025, Netflix will be the exclusive home of Monday Night Raw in the US, Canada, the UK, and Latin America, among other territories, with additional countries and regions being added over time. Likewise, as part of the agreement, Netflix will also become the home for all WWE shows and specials outside of the US as they become available, including Raw and WWE's other two shows, SmackDown and NXT, as well as the company's premium live events, including WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble. WWE's award-winning documentaries and original series and forthcoming projects will also be available on Netflix internationally through 2025. This is big. It is. Because I think they said Monday Night Raw has been running 31 years on whatever you want to call it. I know everybody, and I'm going to sort of parrot some of the things that Simon Miller said in his review. It says, like, Raw's been on free TV. And that's, they say free TV because the argument's always been if you put it behind a paywall, it's going to be harder to get fans, roddy, roddy, raw. I mean, Peacock / WWE Network already kind of proves that that's not true. But it's been, like, what do they always say? Like, the longest-running weekly episodic television show and all that kind of thing. It's crazy. It is crazy. It's crazy to do it, or it would have been crazy to do it maybe 5 years ago. It's not so crazy to do it now. How many people pride themselves on cutting the cord? They watch more Netflix. They watch, you know, Fight TV. They watch, I mean, I'll tell you something right now. In this house, I've got Fight TV for some of my pay-per-views. Or sorry, what is it? It's Zilla by Fight Now, or whatever the fuck it's called. But I got Netflix, I got Disney Plus, I got Crave. Crave gets me HBO, and I've got somebody else's Amazon Prime. Let's be real for a second. The amount of people that are cutting the cord anyway, the amount of people that have Netflix anyway, it's not the whole, oh my God, put it behind a paywall. This makes more sense than when they first created the WWE Network, because WWE made a bucket for their stuff. This is kind of the opposite argument that I make for Netflix on a regular basis. WWE basically said, here's a bucket of WWE if you want to buy a bucket of WWE. But you're going out now to people that most people out there have Netflix in some way, shape, or form. And what you're doing is you're going to people that already have that bucket and you're saying, we'd like to put some WWE in your bucket. Now, I don't know how that's going to work. Netflix isn't exactly known for its live streaming. I mean, if you go on Crave, if you go on Prime, even if you go, they've had the odd occasion here or there on Disney Plus to do some live stuff. So this would be huge for Netflix as well. But I don't know what any of this looks like. It brings up all kinds of questions, because if the idea is eventually all of their weekly programming and their pay-per-views are on Netflix, that has to mean that the WWE Network just doesn't exist anymore, because they'll run out their deals with who is it, NBC that owns Peacock or whatever. They'll run out that because they dropped WWE Network onto Peacock in the States. But why it's a crossover. Like, there's no the WWE Network doesn't exist if you've got all the pay-per-views. I'm assuming all the NXT pay-per-views as well, but they don't specify that here. And basically, Raw has no TV contract, so they're starting with Raw. Kind of like the WWE Network started with NXT as the weekly wrestling content. They've run out their contract for Monday Night Raw, and as the, I guess, the CW contract runs out, and as the USA Network contract runs out, everything will transfer over to Netflix. I don't know. I can see, they want to be on the cusp. People are cutting the cords. They want to go to streaming alternatives, etc. There's even people out there that still watch quote-unquote regular TV, but they find another way to get it other than having cable TV. So I don't have the metrics, and I don't have an understanding of the metrics to know what kind of business opportunity this is. I mean, I'm sure it's something. I mean, Netflix is a pay service. Apparently, and I'm not reading this here, I'm not reading this from the current Aaron Rift No DQ article that I have up in front of me, cards on the table. Somebody said that this deal is $500 billion over 10 years with an option for Netflix to go another 10 years when those 10 years are up and an option to opt out after 5 years if the deal isn't working out. Now, you can say anything you want about other TV deals. Like, oh, how much did Fox offer them? How much did the CW offer them? How much did USA? I'm assuming there's similar deals up here with Sportsnet 360. I know over in the UK they have their own version of TNT that's not the same TNT that shows AEW stuff, so I don't know what the deal is there. So I don't know what it is there, but if you're walking away from Fox, if you're walking away from USA Network, if you're walking away from the Score up here in Canada, which is like the main sports thing, and everybody's going to Netflix, you're putting all your eggs in the Netflix basket. It's huge from a business point of view, and I would have loved to hear the conversations that led to this happening, because I'm not going to lie, when they were saying, oh, Monday Night Raw and just Monday Night Raw is going to move to Amazon Prime, I'm like, first of all, that's really separating out where you get your stuff from. Second of all, I don't really like the way Amazon Prime runs, like how the actual app itself runs. It's kind of shit, in my opinion. As far as operating services go, I think any other streaming service from, I've never used Peacock, I've never used Paramount, but I have, like I say, I have Crave, I have Prime, through Crave I have HBO, I have Disney Plus. Disney Plus is the closest, but they're all trying to be a discount Netflix. Netflix is the McDonald's. For better or for worse, whatever you want to say about McDonald's, McDonald's is the king of fast food. Netflix is the king of streaming. They were here first and they do it best. So for WWE to shoot to the top of the list, who did it first, who did it best, Netflix, throw it on there, rather than maybe going to Amazon, or maybe going to Paramount, or maybe going to somewhere else and trying to work your way up. No. Aim for Netflix. Why the fuck not? Now, because they're part of TKO, does that mean that Netflix is also going to start streaming the UFC pay-per-views? I don't know. There's a lot of stuff on Netflix that people want to get canceled because of political reasons and whatever, and there's a lot of UFC personalities right now that are shooting off at the mouth with a lot of really controversial shit. But here's the thing about that. Here's the wonderful, beautiful thing about that. I don't watch UFC, so I don't have to care. I don't have to care about half of what TKO is doing. I only have to care that they're putting Monday Night Raw on Netflix, which I already have. So if I can kick the network, that's one less thing I'm paying for. I'm sure Netflix, if it starts doing all this live shit, is going to go up by a couple of bucks, but that's fine. It's still one bill instead of two. Now, what does it look like? Does it stay on Monday? That's the big thing. There's a bunch of people on thing immediately, right? And, I mean, I've done it the other way too, so yes, I'm a hypocrite. Oh, well, if there's not going to be any wrestling on Monday, then we can put Collision on Monday. And I'm like, there's wrestling on Monday. You're just watching it on Netflix. It's still a live program. People are still going to watch Monday Night Raw. You're not going to get a double, triple, quadruple size of the audience watching Collision because you don't even have that for Dynamite right now. And I'm not saying that to be cruel. I'm saying look at the numbers. They are not going to give you, or I would predict, that they're not going to give you a more prime spot than that Saturday slot you've already got when the numbers are what they are ever since Punk left. That's another story for another day. But there's all kinds of other things. If you're buying it behind a paywall, people don't want to watch commercials. People don't want to watch commercials on Netflix. I know there's the cheap version of Netflix where you get like a commercial at the beginning of a show and the commercial at the end of the show or whatever the case may be. But I pay for regular Netflix. I don't want commercials. So does that mean we have a 3-hour commercial-free Monday Night Raw? Does that mean we take it down to, does it go back to 2 hours? Does it have to stay PG? There's so many things on streaming services that go a lot harder, a lot grittier, a lot grosser, and whatever, because they don't have the same constraints as TV. But at the same time, all the cancel culture twits and all the weirdos and Amy Schumer made us get rid of the 5-star thing on Netflix. So while they don't have to kowtow to those same kind of people, it seems like they kind of do. So do we get not PG product? Do we get a shorter show? Do we get a commercial-free show? Here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to tell you. The big selling point of a pay-per-view is it's an uninterrupted wrestling show for 2 or 3 hours. If every week you're giving us 3 uninterrupted wrestling shows, you're really going to have to try extra hard to differentiate and make the pay-per-views feel special on top of that, or the premium live events, I should say. Does it stay on Mondays? Does it go... I would love, honestly, because the ratings on SmackDown are better than the ratings on Raw, so more people are watching SmackDown. Maybe that's because it's a shorter show, whatever. Take whichever one has the higher rating and move it to Wednesday. I would really love that a whole lot. Not only because, you know, another big middle finger to AEW, like, because they can go fuck themselves, but also, you guys know me, when I try to preview a pay-per-view, I always have to start that preview with the caveat of, hey guys, I'm here to preview whatever. I promise you, this Friday morning, you're going to get a preview for the Royal Rumble, and the caveat at the beginning is going to be, hey guys, just keep in mind, I'm doing this preview not having seen this week's SmackDown yet, so we might have something. Prime example, this week on SmackDown, we're getting that match between Caden Carter and Katana Chance taking on the Kabuki Warriors for those tag titles. Now, my prediction is that there's going to be a schmoz in that match and they're going to push it to the pay-per-view. So I'm going to include that in my pay-per-view preview because I think that's going to happen. But when I go to record it, I won't know because the show hasn't happened yet. If you can move it back to a Wednesday, if you can move it back to even a... I don't want to say Thursday because then you're going to fuck over TNA. But do you remember when Raw was Monday, SmackDown was Tuesday, NXT was Wednesday? And we know NXT can slaughter Dynamite. We've seen it happen. But it just, selfishly for me, who makes content, put all the wrestling in the beginning of the week so I can do my content at the end of the week, surrounding the weekend, etc., and give us more wait time towards the pay-per-view. Because if the go-home, if the actual go-home show is Tuesday, and we've got 3-4 days of anticipation, it's better, in my opinion, then, hey, thanks for tuning in to SmackDown. See you tomorrow night for the Rumble. Then you've got one day. Whatever they announce on Friday, you've got less than a day to anticipate it. Even less than that for shows like the Elimination Chamber, which are starting at 5 a.m. But yeah, I don't... So here's the thing. The Regal thing is awesome. The TNA stuff is awesome. The Rock stuff is awesome. I don't know what else. Kazuchika Okada, that story is just fun. This is big. I don't know if it's good big or bad big, and I won't know that for another 11 and a half months until it happens. So it's huge. There's so many, like I said, I'm struggling with my words right now because there's so many different curiosities that go into this. I really want to, of all the stories that I've just talked about tonight, and I thought I said it was going to be brief, but I've been talking for 40 minutes now. Of all these things, because the Rock thing is the Rock thing, and it's behind the scenes stuff. The Regal thing is probably behind the scenes stuff, unless something happens on Friday, and we go from there. And the TNA is TNA, and we can talk about that another day as well. The switching over to Netflix, starting with Monday Night Raw, and then gradually bringing over SmackDown, gradually bringing over NXT, gradually bringing over the PLEs. I mean, for me personally, the original series and the projects and the documentaries and what I don't really care. Give me a nice streamlined service where I get my 3 weekly shows and my pay-per-views all in one spot. I'm a happy guy. If it adds another couple of bucks to my Netflix, but I can get rid of my WWE network, everybody wins. Everybody wins. I really do want to know. Put it down in the box below. Not so much... I don't want to so much know whether you guys think this is a good or a bad thing, but I want to know what questions this brings up in your mind. Because I think of, like I say, the advertising, the length of the show. Is it going to stay on the same night? What's it going to look like? Is it going to be a little bit more intense? Is it going to be less intense? Is it going to be more censored? Is it going to be less censored? It's a completely different... set of parameters that you're trying to operate within when you're no longer on actual television. I've rambled for quite long enough and I'm very tired. It's stupid o'clock right now as I'm recording this because I've had a long day. Lots of news. I will be coming back to you guys in a day or two with the Royal Rumble preview, but let's be real and lay it on the brass tacks. It's Bayley, Becky, Punk, Cody, and 36 losers. That's a really bad way to end this off. But that's where I'm ending it off. I've been Spaz, your YWC Reality Check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation. Keep all of these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I'll talk to each and every last one of you later. But for right now, I am tired. Bye, guys.